Hello, Greg. My name is Tom Luciana, calling in from Climax, Kentucky. Speaking of Climax, I'd like to know your reaction when young Christopher told you that he had lost his virginity. I will hang up and eagerly listen. Good day, y'all.
Oh, wow.
This is awkward.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
One of the crazier things in this life that we live is dreams. I was thinking about it the other day. We have like these like movies that play out in our minds. Sometimes we remember them. Sometimes we don't. There are a lot of odd things in this world. Dreams are crazy. Aren't they? Like, have you ever thought about that? That we watch movies on TV, but sometimes we have movies in our brains at night when we're sleeping. That's crazy.
With all the technology in the world now, I'm surprised that nobody's invented. I shouldn't say this aloud because somebody will invent it and they'll get rich and I won't. But there should be an apparatus that you can wear on your head that pretty much scans your brain and then prints out what you've dreamt that night.
Yes. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Right?
Oh my God, that is such a great idea. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. But that is just that is something that has not been figured out yet.
Because I want to share with you, I believe that everybody dreams a lot, but most of us don't remember our dreams. There's probably only two dreams a year that I actually remember. And
wow.
And I had one recently, and I want to tell you about it because, okay, Don Shula died about a year ago. Okay, the 1 year anniversary was, I think, last week or something. And I dreamed that one of the local TV stations had me on to reflect upon the 1 year anniversary. Okay. And they did it via Zoom. And it became very controversial because I had an incongruous, inappropriate background in my Zoom. Okay. This is a very somber, reflective interview about the great Don Shula. You know, it's emotional and all that.
Which channel was it? I'm trying to visualize it. Were you on channel 7 with Shapiro? I know he just retired, but like,
I think it was channel 4. I think it was CBS.
Jim Barry.
I think it might have been dulcet toned Jim Barry.
Mike Cuno. He's coming for Barry's stuff.
You know, that's a detail that isn't vivid in my memory, but this is. My Zoom appearance talking about Shula became controversial because the background in my Zoom was a terrifying stampede of wildebeests.
Jesus, and they were, like in The Lion King?
Yeah, exactly. And they were coming right at the camera. And it wasn't animated. They were real wildebeests. So, you know, there should be like tinkling pianos as I reflect on the greatness of this man we lost. And it's a thundering herd behind me. And that's all I remember about that dream is that we had to interrupt the interview, and then it became a big social media firestorm, and I got in all kind of trouble. God, I wish that had really happened.
That is fantastic.
I wish that had actually happened in real life. That would have been fun.
The Greg Cody Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, how about that? I forgot to intro the show. I think by now, if you tune into the show, you pretty much know what you're listening to.
What a shit sports weekend.
Oh, man. But here's the weird thing, okay? I'm going to talk a little bit about the Heat and the Panthers, who both lost on Saturday, because I want to say this. The Panthers are down 3-1. Mathematically, they have a 9.4% chance to win 3 in a row and not be eliminated. And guess what? I think they can do it. I'm not counting the Panthers out.
Oh, okay? Man, Dad.
No, I'm serious.
I mean, look, if they win Game 5, which I'm going to, you know, and think, I'm not like, I know they can do it, Dad, but it doesn't look good. This team... I just want to rant for a second against just this whole setup. I'm pretty sure Tampa and Florida, in terms of like points, if like this was a normal playoff year setup, they shouldn't be playing Tampa in the first round. This is horse manure because of this weird divisional setup this year. And so they're getting screwed out of this. The Panthers and Lightning were in the top echelon of the whole league. I think they're both top five in points in the NHL. So it's just annoying. Like that's what I'm really annoyed at. Like the Tampa's a really good team. I know a lot of people.
Well, they're the reigning champion, sure.
But in general, just the last like 10 years, like this team with Stamkos and Kucherov, who, man, I hate that guy.
Every time I say his name, I want to say Nikita Khrushchev, the former Russian premier. But that's a whole different story. No, I wouldn't predict the Panthers are going to win 3 in a row and sort of make history. But what I am going to do is say, man, I am not counting this team out. But they need to solve the goaltending situation because neither.
Yeah. Spencer Knight. Let's see him. Let's
you know
go.
What?
The rookie.
That would be a ballsy move for Coach Joel Quenneville if he put in a kid who just turned 20 and has 4 games of NHL experience. I mean, that would electrify the whole league. I mean, that would be ballsy. And also, you know, the Heat lost barely, but
we're good there.
It's Milwaukee who should be worried coming out of that game.
Yeah, everyone played like shit. Bam, like Bam was never didn't want to shoot. Jimmy was like 2 for 39.
Well, I'll give you the real stats. Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero combined shot 10 for 57.
Right,
10 for 57.
A bunch were bunnies too. Like Jimmy missed a few easy putbacks. Like I mean, we did shoot the lights out. Like we did shoot the lights out from three. So that will probably regress a little. But like this has 7 games written all over it.
Yeah, I'm just not worried about the Heat for some reason coming out of that game. If you're the Bucks, you have to be thinking, man, they shot like shit. The Heat did. And we barely won at home. Yeah. We barely won
series
at home.
Series hasn't started yet. So, you know the rules.
Yeah, whatever that phrase is, I agree with it. I just need to mention Phil Mickelson for a second. I know we're recording this Sunday morning, and he's carrying a one-shot lead into the PGA Championship. The whole world is going to be rooting for Phil.
I'm not.
Come on.
This is not the Tiger appeal. You're trying to make this like you're talking in the same way you might talk if Tiger was leading a major. I'm with you. Like this is maybe the next best thing, but I like Brooks Koepka. I'm good with him winning.
Okay,
I want more of an epic battle. I don't want Phil to run away with it and it be an easy win for Phil. Like I just want to see somebody. Like I want Phil to need to hit a big shot on 18. Like that's what I want. I want it to be close. Right. I don't really care if Phil. I don't think you do either. I think you're kind of faking it. I think you know it's a nice story, but like I don't think you really are like that hard rooting for Phil Mickelson.
I tend to root for the old guys because we old guys have to stick that's together, true. And I want to see history made. There have been 161 years of golf majors, and Phil Mickelson at age 50 would be the oldest man to ever win a major. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but in our little pre-show meeting where we were discussing what we might talk about, you said, I believe, quote, I'm literally praying that Phil Mickelson wins. And I was just like, that, I feel like you're just like, you know, trying to sound excited right now. And, you know.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm pretty consistent with this across all sports.
Yeah, you do like it. You are. You love old
people. And also, as a journalist, I don't root for people or teams. What I root for is great stories.
You're right. And I root for bad, great stories. He hasn't been. The good thing, the cool thing about this is that it's Phil kind of having a resurgence because he hasn't been great.
No, he hasn't. Hey, before we move on, can I talk Tim Tebow for just a second?
Sure.
I am really tired.
What if I said no there?
Yeah, I would have plowed through anyway, but I'm really tired of everybody making fun of Tim Tebow and criticizing him. And again, I root for the great story. You know what a great story is here? Tim Tebow is about to take his first snap in the NFL after a 9-year absence, which ties an all-time record. I think the last player who did that was Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
And now Tebow's doing it. And you know, I don't know whether he's an NFL quality tight end. I have no idea. And I don't know if Jacksonville's doing it as a publicity stunt. All of that stuff may be. But it's a great story, Tebow coming back to the NFL after all this time.
What I don't understand is that this seems like, because how good can Tebow really be as a tight end? This seems like more of like a thing to get tickets. But you just drafted Trevor Lawrence. So that stadium's going to be packed. So I feel like this is just us wanting to talk about Tim Tebow. Like he's going to be on the roster. And at best, he's just going to be a solid to below average tight end, right? Like no one expects him to make a Pro Bowl and be Gronk.
Yeah, I agree with that. But again, I think it's a great story. And
it is weird that he's so polarizing, though. It is odd that like people seem to like, I don't know how you can be that negative on Tim Tebow. I mean, he seems like just genuinely one of the nicest people.
And the other thing is I hate the argument that, oh, he's taken away a roster spot from somebody more deserving. You know what? Tim Tebow was going to be about 48th on that roster. It's not like he's a prominent player. He's going to be their third string tight end, I would imagine. So, and in other sports news, Simone Biles did an unprecedented Yurchenko double pike vault, and I have no idea what that
all
is.
All right, what are we doing now? And in other sports news, like, this is not this. What show are we? Like, what is this? Like, now you're doing Jim Barry's show.
Right.
This like, is now you just became Jim Barry. Earlier, you were talking about being in a dream with Jim Barry when a stampede ran by you, and now all of a sudden, you're doing his show.
Right. And none of our audience knows who Jim Barry is or what he sounds like. And I wish they did. I would like you to research. Jim Barry sings. He's got a great voice.
You know what? I think we can put that in. Let's play a little clip for the people of Jim Barry singing.
The glow in your eyes has got me feeling right. My life felt broken in little pieces, but you put me back together, and I pulled you to shore after your share of stormy weather.
That puts me in the mood. If I wasn't here staring at Yeti Blanc and Greg Cody, I would be more in the mood, but
baby,
that's what my wife says.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the sight, the sound, the smell of it. Morning, night, or noon. It's the feeling you're always welcome. And when you leave, we'll see you soon. It's the place you always go to when you're with friends or you're all alone. It's the taste of Nelly's Diner that makes you feel at home.
Step back in time when you step into Nelly's Diner. It's the only place in town to taste Wild Bill Cody's Bison Burger, deep fried in Nana's 100-year-old lard. Or try a tall stack of our award-winning PFPI pancakes. Dig into the signature Thang-a-Thang salad. Or try an Uncle Dick footlong. Anything you want and anytime you want it, we got it. All served up with a free side of smiles. We are right where we've been for 60 years at 1440 Zagacki Street, downtown. Nelly's Diner. It's the taste of home you never had because your mom sucked at cooking.
It's the taste of Nelly's Diner that makes you feel at home.
That reminds me of our sponsorship deal with Nelly's Diner. That's why you're hearing this ad, people. And, you know, when the Levitard Show and Meadowlark entered into that $50 million three-year deal with DraftKings, got a lot of attention. You know what hasn't gotten as much attention is that the Greg Cody Show just entered into a new three-year deal with Nelly's Diner, and that's going to be a 50-meal deal in which I am entitled to 50 free meals at Nelly's over a three-year period, tips and alcohol not included. So I feel like, no agent was involved, no lawyer. That was just me and Nelly's team, and I feel like I struck a really good deal.
I mean, Nelly's Diner's delicious. Like, I'm kind of paid to say that now at this point. I feel... a little bit like a shill, but that shepherd's pie and the Uncle Dick's footlong.
Yeah.
My God, is it good?
Oh yeah, it really is. I mean, baby, and I love the that kind of thing salad personally. That's like my favorite dish in the whole place. You know what we're gonna do now? We're gonna go on to Greg's mail sack. It's the first time we've done it in months and months. It's a staple of the program as an occasional
new and improved.
Feature.
We brought it in is. Yeti. We should let Yeti. You know, what are we doing here with this? How is this segment new and improved?
Well, I polished up the sack, folks, and we decided to open up the lines to some phone callers. This is something that I did on my podcast with Andrew Streeter called Yes, Maybe, No. And we
nice plug.
I mean, you got to do it. I mean, it's been what? How long have you been with us yet? He hasn't worked. Like, I don't think he's worked in a shameless plug yet for it.
So. I haven't. Greg referenced it gently last week. And I mentioned the name of another podcast like 8 times. And so I have to
who's counting?
Yeah, Stu got sent me a text and said, you got to do better, man. You got to be a little more selfish. But yeah, so we opened the line to callers. They sent us some voicemails. Look, callers, you guys brought it strong. I think there's some really good content here. So thank you for sending in some really good questions. Some questions I think are going to spawn some good stories from Greg. When we do this again, bring it even better, though. So I had to cut a few of you. You guys were good, but not great. We had some great
crap.
Ones.
If you don't hear your question here, you were crap.
All right. So.
Wait, I think we have some crappy imaging to tee this segment off. So let's hit that.
It's Greg's mail sack. Let's pull your question from the bag and let Greg answer back.
Okay, so let's get this started. Our first caller, Chris from the Finger Lakes. You can find him on Twitter at CJ Mao, and he has questions about bachelor parties.
Hi, Greg's and Chris. I'm currently on the stag weekend for my brother's bachelor party, so I'm wondering what kind of activities did you guys like doing on your stag parties? Maybe it was just drinking, beer pong, something, but what were some of the activities you liked doing?
I'm just laughing at my dad cough through that first question. You're off to a banger start here, folks.
Well, listen, beer pong hadn't been invented yet. Okay, that's how old I am. Drinking had been invented when I was doing the stag party thing. And
like
the
a week
party
before.
Yeah. But what used to be the thing was the strip club, I'll be honest with you. You know, if you were going to a bachelor party, it was almost de rigueur that you would wind up at a strip club. And that's, you know, I know that's not that exciting, but that's what the bachelor party used to be back in my day.
Can I tell you about, I ended up at a strip club for my bachelor party. I did not actually, it wasn't planned, but my friends kind of like took over what we had planned, whatever.
Greg's mail sack.
So I did. Long story short, the funny story I have from this is, I won't say who, somebody in that, along with my bachelor party, we had a party bus that we were driving around and we were all in the club and all of a sudden one of our guys just decided he wanted to go somewhere else and like took our party bus and left. All of a sudden the bus is gone. And that's my story. I feel like I've already said too much. I'm like, I'm seeing the faces of all the people involved. Like, why are you telling this story to the nation right now? So I'm going to retreat a little bit, but that was a crazy story from my bachelor party.
Well, you have to name the thief. You have to name the person who absconded with...
Dan Levitard, he was 35 years old.
All right, off air, you have to tell me and I'll tweet it out. Okay, what's the next question?
All right, next question comes from our pal, Steak Sauce. You can find him on Twitter at I Am Kevinito.
Hey, Greg, this is Steak Sauce, your favorite journalist, your favorite newspaper writer. My question for you, Mr. Cody, was what is the most embarrassing typo you've ever had make it into print? I think mine is I had a guy here in Albuquerque, he shit a two-run homer, and that made it into the newspaper, and I was very crushed, so I was wondering what yours could be. All right, I'll hang up and listen.
Mayo sack.
That's actually hilarious. Like, he shit a home run. I mean,
a two-run home run.
Wow, a typo. See, in journalism, a typo means like that, like one letter that causes you.
By the way, I don't even think he cared about what your story was. Steak Sauce just wanted to get his story out there, and he did. It was a good story.
It is. The idea of somebody shitting a home run is just perfect. I've had plenty of embarrassments in my day, but I don't think any of them was related to a specific typo, at least none that I can hear
of. All
right,
so what was what was your worst mistake then?
Well, way back in the day when I was covering the Fort Lauderdale Strikers, there was a prankster on the team, a defender named Ken Fogarty, a British guy. And this was around the time of the Falklands War, and which is a blip in history. But at any rate, Ken told me this great story about how he was distracted because his sister was on a troop ship headed to the Falkland Islands to do combat. And I wrote that, you know, just a little human interest story. And it turned out to be totally fabricated. He didn't have a sister. She wasn't headed to war. And worse, 2 days later, the Miami News, the competing paper, did a front page story on how I had been duped by Ken Fogarty. And so that was, I mean, nowadays.
Did you comment? Did you comment on the story?
No, I didn't. And this was before social
Greg
media.
Greg Cody days. Declined to comment. That's right.
They didn't ask me. I wish they had. But, you know, luckily this was before social media, before Deadspin. So it just sort of died as a Miami type story rather than national news. But that was my version of a typo that embarrassed me.
Listeners, I don't know what we can promise. Probably nothing. I'll give you a follow on Twitter for the first person who can dig up that story and post a copy of it on Twitter.
Yes.
I don't have any merchandise to give you at the moment, but that's incredible. I love Chris's reaction when he referenced the Falklands War, like it was something from 1884, but it was really it was like 1984, right?
Thank you for calling me out on that. I almost made fun of him just because it's so funny to hear my dad reference being around for the war, but then I realized quickly that was like a recent war and that I'm exposing myself rather than making fun of my dad. But thank you, Yeti, for calling that out.
Right. I think it was more like 79 to 81, gotcha. 82 or something. But
yeah, the Brits down in versus kind of, I guess, Argentina. Yeah.
Yeah. Look,
Yeti. Yeti, it was way before you thought, you dummy.
Yeti. All right. Our next call is a guy named Tom Musiana who didn't give a social media handle. This one was interesting.
Hello, Greg. My name is Tom Musiana, calling in from Climax, Kentucky. Speaking of Climax, I'd like to know your reaction when young Christopher told you that he had lost his virginity. I will hang up and eagerly listen. Good day, y'all.
Oh, wow.
This is awkward.
Do we have to believe, are we to believe that there's actually a Climax, a city named Climax, and when was it, Kentucky?
I'm on it.
He's in Climax, Kentucky.
I don't recall having a conversation with Christopher. Hey, Dad, I met somebody last night. I'm no longer a virgin. I just don't remember that happening.
Wait, something?
Christopher, did that happen? Did you come to me and confide?
Phrasing.
And we're no longer a virgin? How does that work?
That's what I mean. This is awkward. I don't think me and my dad have ever had any kind of conversation like this. My dad was a terrible father. I never had a sex talk with him. He just like... I think he knew the internet was around. He's like, you got this thing figured out, right? And I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, what can I tell you?
I guarantee the birds and the bees talk is not happening anymore. You have, actually, Yeti, is it? Like, because the kid, like, I don't, like, I mean, with the internet and, like, I mean, your kids are young, so you're probably not there yet. But, like, I don't.
We do not have time to go into the sleuthing that my daughter has done to try to figure out what condoms are.
Oh, wow. How old are your kids?
My daughter's 10, my son is 7, and she's been on at least a 2-year mission to figure out what they are. And like I said, that I could go probably 45 minutes on that topic alone.
Yeah, I don't want to like, but it's just, I feel like back in the day it was like, sit down, Ryan. Let me tell you about the world. I don't know who Ryan is. I don't know what I just did. Back in that time, kids weren't even named Ryan. What were kids named back in the day, Dad?
Greg Cody.
Yeah, like Greg.
There you go. My parents never had that talk with me either because when I was in high school, we actually had sex education courses.
I had a sex ed class. I don't remember whether it was middle school or high school, but I had a sex ed class.
We didn't.
I don't think they do anymore, do they? Is that part of the curriculum now?
I think it depends on where you're at. But no, yeah. I was the night before my wedding, I'm talking to my dad. I'm like, how come you guys never had the talk? And it was just like, well, I guess if you can't figure it out, you have no business getting married, you know?
Right. I feel like it's just something along the way, you figure it out.
It's not that complicated. Like, you really, you have this part, and she has that part, and...
I'm picturing you with a lab coat on teaching a class all of a sudden.
This week on the Greg Cody Show, Greg congratulations on the sex.
That's right.
All right, our next call is from... Jamie Zaslav at JZaslav on Twitter.
Hi, I'd love to hear about the all-time worst family trip that the Codys went on. I think we all have family trips that turned out to be a disaster, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about something that you guys did.
Wow. Going back a ways, a lot of the trips were grueling because we never flew. We drove our car from Hollywood, Florida to Lawrence, Massachusetts, and stayed in tiny little weird-ass motels along the way, and it was a grind. I mean, to save airfare, it was a grind.
Didn't I lock us out of, like, when I was, like, three out of some, like, cheap hotel balcony? Like, we were all in, like, you had to keep the... For some reason, they had a way where you could lock yourself onto the balcony.
Right.
Like, what a terrible thinking back on that. Like, why was that designed that way, that you're able to lock yourself out of the balcony?
Yeah, that happened.
And
yes,
like, didn't you have to, like, jump off of a balcony to, like, go get...
Right. Luckily, it was only the second floor, so I was able to sort of climb more than jump, climb down. But I felt like a hero, to be honest with you.
There's actually... Oh, man, if we could get that audio, we're not going to be able to. Like, it's like an old VHS. You're videotaping when it happens.
Greg's mail sack.
And I walk outside, and then you hear the door.
Oh, yes.
And then, like, the reaction is caught on camera of my mom being like, oh, my God. And then you're laughing while videoing, like, whee!
I do remember that.
Of the realization that you've been locked out? That's incredible.
Yeah, like, my mom is panicking, and my dad's laughing, and my mom's panic. Like, and they're just... As if they'd have to be like, help! If you were like on the fifth floor, like, help!
Yeah, that was great.
Memories.
That's incredible. Our next caller is from a big-time fan of the show, Jeanette, out in Los Angeles. You can follow her at jher17. And if you love the Levitard show, she is always on point with her shooting from the hip quips about the show.
Yeti approved.
Hello, Greg, Cody Show. I just wanted to know, you guys had said that you would be working out of a Sirius XM and a studio kind of like with Pitbull. So have Greg, Yeti, or Chris, have you guys met Pitbull yet? And if so, what did he smell like? Thank you.
Wow. I have reached out to Pitbull through his people. To get him on, because, you know, he's got a lot to do with Sirius XM and the program that sponsors our program
setting,
or whatever.
Are you setting up a terrible joke about, like, you asking a dog to join the show? Like, I just felt like I can tell in your voice when you're setting up a terrible joke. And I feel like you were about to be like, and then he barked at me in response. Like,
right.
That's
I wish I had a terrible joke to set up, but I don't. I don't have a real answer to that. I would love Pitbull to be on the podcast. And if you're listening, Pit... give us a call.
I think her larger point, though, is a great one. Pitbull looks like he smells fantastic. And I think we've covered this on the Levitard show, but, like, he just has a look. I don't know, like, maybe we could play that game of people that just look like they smell nice. Pat Riley. I feel like it's just, he just looks like he smells lovely.
You know, Jimmy Butler smells good.
Yeah, even sweaty, right? Like, sweaty Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, yeah. And what's funny, though, is, like, I picture him smelling good, like, 1993, like cool water.
Dan Man Campbell looks like a real tough guy. Doesn't look like he smells great.
He smells like dirt and grass.
Oh, right. Yeah. Smells like blue cheese.
Greg Cody, you don't look like you smell great.
I'm not a cologne wearer. I will spray on some cologne when we're going out to a nice restaurant or something, but day in, day out, I don't use cologne. Do you guys use cologne?
No. It irritates me.
This is the thing, Dad. I need you to take this and run to Mom with it and tell her. Especially because we know Mom doesn't listen to this podcast. She gets enough of Greg Cody in her life. Mom buys me cologne every year. I haven't worn cologne since, like, junior year of high school. I literally have, like, 7 colognes in my bathroom that I never use just because they stack up every year, because Mom will buy me, like, a $40. You know, it's usually nice cologne. Like, you need to tell her to stop buying me cologne.
I think somebody should come out with an anti-cologne. Like a cologne. Imagine you're spraying something on yourself. And your wife says, do I smell urine?
Greg, you can actually buy urine to put on, like, hunters use it to mask their scent. They get fox urine.
Bottle it.
They do.
Spray on it.
Go to your Army Navy store and buy some, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it human urine or is it animal urine?
It's animal. It's literally fox urine.
Wow.
And you can
Does it have to be, though? Can he just pee in a jar and then spray it mist style on himself?
I could do
Greg,
that.
Greg, that could be the next thing. I mean, eau de toilette, you know?
Yeah.
Gruin.
I could do that very easily. I feel like we've gone off track a little bit.
Yeah, we've gone on. Thank you, Jeanette, for that call. Our next guy is a guy that is known around Twitter as Joe Vegas. You can find him at Dude Goods, and he has a question about Chris.
Hi, Greg. My question for you is, what quality would you say is the worst that your son Christopher possesses? And if you had to choose, which person from the shipping container would you replace your son?
Mail
sack.
Jesus. Wow. I don't find much fault with Christopher. I think he's a great kid. A great father,
kid,
possibly a great husband. I'd have to ask Christy about that next time I see her. You know, he does little inconsequential things that annoy me, such as, you know, sometimes just ignoring my texts, and, you know, I'll stack up four texts in a row and I won't hear from them, and 2 days later I'll, you know, those type things. But that's just a grain of sand. That's nothing big. What was the second part of that question? Oh, who would I replace him with?
From the shipping container.
In other words, if I had to pick somebody from the shipping container who would suddenly be my son?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like this question.
Wow.
Like, you have to do it. Like, I know you're not choosing that. Like, it's just that you're put in a spot where you have to...
Gun to your head, Greg.
Just take in a new family member.
I guess I'd pick Jessica to be my daughter.
Wow, you've known her, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it'd be kind of cool to have a daughter, you know?
You do have a granddaughter.
I do, but that's, you know, I'm talking about a daughter.
Wow, I thought you were going to go Roy there.
Oh, Roy would be right up there. Roy would be right up there. You know, I'd rule out certain people, but I don't want to offend anybody.
Wow.
You know, Whittingham would drive me crazy. Imagine having him as a son.
Whatever. You guys would be able to bounce vocabulary words off of each other while you're trying to figure out. You're stuck on a paper or on an article, and you go to Chris. What's a smart sounding word I can use here?
He would actually probably be very annoying to play Scattergories with.
Can you imagine him bringing out the rule book?
Greg's mail sack.
Greg.
Technically.
House rules say. Greg, you'd kick him out and you'd replace him with Roy or Jessica. Having a daughter's cool.
Dad, you just want to be able to tweet hashtag girl dad. Don't you?
That's it.
That's it.
Hashtag salt life, hashtag girl dad.
You love to just be things. A girl dad is something you want to be.
Right.
Hashtag reggae dad. So,
yeah, exactly. There you go.
All right. Our next guy has a Miami sports question.
This is Brian Diardo at Brian Diardo. My question to Greg Cody is, if you could alter one outcome in a previous Miami sporting event, what outcome would that be? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work.
Game one versus Milwaukee. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to go way back to for my answer to 1980, the Soccer Bowl. Okay? It was... It was a glorious season for the Fort Lauderdale Strikers of the then NASL. They got all the way to the championship game for the one and only time in their history, and they lost to the star-laden New York Cosmos at Giant Stadium. So it was a home game for the Cosmos. Greg's mail sack.
What about Marino's Super Bowl?
You know, that's not a bad idea either. Marino's, the 1980...
Wouldn't he just be the best ever if he had one Super Bowl?
And yeah. Sometimes I think if you win one, though, it's not enough. Like, if you know, like you're going to say, Aaron Rodgers only won one Super Bowl, and you're going to emphasize the word only. You know, but that's not a bad idea. Sorry, Strikers. I'm going to change my mind.
That's what I'm saying. Who gives a shit about the Strikers? I know it was a long time ago, and at that time,
yeah.
I know I used to go to Strikers games with you guys. They were popular in their day.
Right.
Got to go Marino. Like, it's not even close.
All right, let's give Marino a Super Bowl title. I'm fitting his, putting a ring on it. Marino, congratulations.
You are a
Super Bowl champion.
Ringing it.
Yeah. Did, if he had won that Super Bowl, would you have written that article saying he should have been traded?
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
This does roll into your career as a journalist, and this comes from Gabe, who is also from South Florida. I think he's from Miami. Gabe, you can find him at Rage Against Twitter. He's a recent show song contributor to Levitard. And this is a question about Dave Hyde.
Hey, this is Gabe at Rage Against Twitter. There was a recent retiring of a local TV sports host, Steve Shapiro.
Second
it. And as part of his retirement, he kind of had like a farewell tour of interviews where he interviewed such people as Jeff Conine, Zach Thomas, Mike Lowell, Stan Van Gundy, Jason Jackson, the TV face of the Miami Heat. And he also interviewed two columnists. It was this guy, Dan Levitard, and your arch nemesis, Dave Hyde. And I was wondering, hey, how do you feel that they thought of Dan Levitard and Dave Hyde and not you? Also, why have you never publicly complimented Dave Hyde on his work? I'll take my answer off the air.
Why has Steve Shapiro never publicly complimented
Dave? I could tell by the look on your face.
He turns it directly on him. Why has Steve Shapiro never complimented me?
Steve Shapiro's retiring, and he had like a farewell tour, and we were just doing a bunch of interviews. And one of those interviews were with two columnists, and those columnists, I can't believe I'm having to repeat it, like Gabe's.
Okay, no, I get it.
And he chose Dave Hyde and Dan Levitard, and he's wondering, does that like where was my invite? And he's also wondering why you never publicly, you know, say that Dave Hyde is a good writer.
Well, first of all, it rarely comes up. Dave Hyde and I are friends. Greg's
Mayo Sack.
We've socialized a couple of times. We follow each other on Twitter. We're friendly every time we see each other. I think Dave Hyde's great. I think he's a really good columnist and has been for a long time. You know, does it bother me that Steve Shapiro didn't interview me on his farewell tour? Not even a little bit.
Wow.
In fact, quite frankly, nothing against Steve Shapiro, who I also like and know.
Where do you rank him?
But do you follow him on Twitter?
Yeah.
I don't.
Local sports guys, where do you rank him? Let's do it. Greg Cody's top five local sports anchors.
All time? Or? Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm not going to insult anybody. Steve Shapiro had a great career. I did not know he had retired. I don't watch much local TV, so I was unaware of his victory tour.
Man, the shots just keep coming.
No, I mean, I'm just
big time Steve Shapiro.
You know, had he interviewed me, he would be the greatest ever and number one on my list. But since he snubbed me, Steve Who, you know, that's pretty much it.
That's Steve O's cousin is named Steve Who.
No, Shappy had a great career. I have no
idea.
Oh,
Shappy.
Yeah.
Shappy.
All right. Our next caller.
Hi, this is Cincinnati Lou of Jeff and Lou Have a Podcast at Stugart's Army 790. Greg, will you join us on Jeff and Lou Have a Podcast?
Look, I'm sorry. He broke into here. I don't know who let him here. I'm sorry, Greg. Shame on you, Lou.
Greg's Mayo Sack.
You know, I'll have to check with my my agent on that. I get so many requests to be on podcasts. You know, I can't say yes to every one. So that's a kind roundabout way of saying no.
I will say it would be doing me a personal favor because recently Lou saved my life. That's a story for another day.
Well, if that's the truth, we'll ferret out the truth off air. And if that's the truth, then I'll agree to be on
it. I think it would be a light lift. I'm pretty sure from what I've heard of that show.
Pretty sure.
Sure, I'll be on
I've appeared on the show. It is a light lift.
I think I've appeared on the show.
You have. Okay. You have. Yeah. It was such a light lift, you barely remember it.
Yeah.
So it's not exclusive territory is what you're saying. I'm like sloppy seconds.
Zagaki. All right. This call comes from Troy out in Idaho.
Hi there. This is Troy, Greg Cody's number one Idaho fan, at Older Dan's on Twitter. My question for Greg Cody this week is simply, what's your Mount Gregmore of the United States states that you've never been to? Thanks a lot for your consideration. And we really love Yeti being on the show, too. Bye-bye.
See, Troy knows how to get played.
Wow. I'm blessed to say I've been to most states, either through them or vacationed in them.
Greg's Mayo Sack.
We did New Mexico last summer, two summers ago, which was a first, and enjoyed the hell out of that. Trying to think of states I haven't been to. I would like to go to the Dakota that has Mount Rushmore on it. Is that north or south? I can never remember.
That one's south.
I think it's South Dakota. Yep. Wouldn't mind doing that. Gosh, I've been to just about every other state. Honestly, I'm trying to think of states I haven't been to. Been to Wisconsin. Been to Washington. I don't think I can even come up with a Mount Rushmore of states I haven't been to.
I feel like Portland. I think Portland is decent.
I think I have been to Oregon. We went to a vineyard there once. So, yeah, I've been everywhere, man, like Johnny Cash sang.
All right. I feel like we're not going to have time to get all of these. We're running out of
last
time.
Last call.
Okay. Right.
Oh, good. Okay.
All right. This comes from Spencer from Iowa, who's actually on his way down to South Florida or to Florida somewhere.
Good all right. Know. I'll be there greeting you.
Hey, Greg. Spencer from Iowa here. So we're planning on moving down to Florida, and we usually walk our dogs off-leash. So my questions are, what are your feelings about people who walk their dogs off-leash, and are we going to be able to continue to do that in Florida with the alligators everywhere? All right. Have a good one.
I need to go first here. I have strong opinions about that. What's that guy's name?
Spencer. Spencer from Iowa. Currently from Iowa.
I don't want to be rude. I hate when people are walking their dogs without leashes. And it gives me anxiety because a lot of times it's like not that far from a street where there's cars. It's like, we get it. Your dog is perfect and it's trained, but dogs are also really stupid at times. See something and then just take off. And it's just like, it stresses me out. And then if I have a dog on a leash, what if your dog, like it's just, there's a lot of different things. I don't want to be rude, Spencer. You're welcome to come to Florida. Maybe if you find a place with a lot of land and like, you know, not, you know, maybe you can do what you want to do. But that, I don't know, Dad. What do you agree with me?
Well, Spencer, welcome to the Sunshine State. we do have leash laws here.
Laws.
And, yeah, that's right. And so, you want to use a leash. Get one of those extracting leashes that,
oh, you know. I love now dad's teaching people about leashes. Like, they have them now. Hey, Spencer, you can push a button and it extends. Like, I think he knows the leash landscape.
Leashes!
Number one, use a leash. Number two, keep that mutt away from the riverbanks because alligators look at dogs as a snack.
That was the other thing I wanted to talk about. This isn't some crazy wasteland where there's just alligators running around everywhere. If you're not going to the Everglades, I mean, sure, there's canals where there might be alligators, but there's not alligators just... I know you see these videos all the time on the internet of these large alligators walking on golf courses. Right. I play golf a lot. I go a lot of places around here. I've, like, twice in my whole life seen an alligator around. Like, it's not that crazy. You know, knock on wood. No. Hopefully Spencer doesn't take my advice now and then get his dog eaten from an alligator. I'll feel very responsible. But I it's not like they're all over the place.
You're not going to see an alligator walking out to the mailbox smoking a cigarette and saying, "What's up, Greg?" You know, right. Like, it's not
unless
like that
you,
at
I
all.
Mean, if you live behind, like, my Uncle Dick of Uncle Dick's Footlongs, Nelly's Diner.
Right.
He used to live behind a canal, and it was a thing when we went to his house. Hey, don't go out there. Like, you know, I remember that of there being, like, the chance. And I never saw an alligator there. I mean, I think he did. But even, I'm just saying, they're not everywhere. You'll be fine, Spencer.
Right.
I feel like I've been coming in too hot at Spencer. I feel like I'm not being nice. I welcome you here. I hope you and your dog can walk without a leash. Just don't do it near me.
That's the thing. In Iowa, you can because there's wide open ranges.
Right.
The dogs can just go. But South Florida especially, you're not going to have that.
But you could. There are places like out west. And there
North
are,
Florida.
Yeah, North Florida. But even in South Florida, like, there are Southwest ranches. There are neighborhoods that are like farm. Like, Davie has a lot of, like, I mean, these are expensive. I don't know what Spencer's budget is. Like, you know, they're really nice, big. But there are, like, a lot of, like, people with horses and stuff. Like, there are places you can go where you can walk your dog off a leash. But it just gives me anxiety when I see it.
Spencer, we do have iguanas down here the size of small dinosaurs. And
What you're going to see everywhere.
Yeah.
Iguanas, you will see. That's the thing you're going to see everywhere.
And that was the last of our calls. So I'm really, really grateful for everyone who called in. We had great response. Like I said, If you didn't get
and
your
if we didn't
this
hear
time,
your question, if you didn't hear your question was crap.
Crap.
It was crap. Be better. Dad, I think we have to bump Mount Greg more. How do you feel about that? You like, I don't even think you have time.
Greg's on mute again.
Yeah, he just said wow.
He's yelling and he's on mute.
Okay. Yeah, I was on mute there. Had a coughing attack. Hey, I'm saddened by the fact that we're going to have to bump Mount Greg more because it's a good one. It's a great one, and we'll get to it next week. It's really, really good.
Maybe
the best ever.
I can hear people turning off the podcast right now. They're like, I just came here for Mount Greg Moore, and I'm not getting it. And I'm just, my week is ruined.
Because it is, not... yeah. Yeah, those Mount Greg Moore t-shirts will be ready for sale in about another 2 or 3 weeks. no, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks, as always. We survived a podcast without a guest. I love that. We had great input from our fans, from our callers.
We did have a guest. We had that guy Lou from Jeff and Lou's podcast.
That's true. I love the word Lou, by the way. I love that name.
That's an old name. Remember earlier we were talking about, like, hey, I went to school with the guy Lou.
I know a Lou. Every time I hear the word Lou, I just think of, like, a...
Jeff's an old name.
A
meatball hoagie.
You know, Lou is a meatball hoagie of names. Yeah. It's fantastic. Hey, let's get out of here. Thanks, Yeti. Thanks, Christopher, as always. And listeners, hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
I can confirm, after further review, I feel like an NFL referee right now, Climax, Kentucky is a real city.
Oh, good. That's a weight off my mind.
Would you ever live in a city named Climax?
Probably not, but...
I was trying to find, like, you know, like a little nugget to go with this update of, like, you know, most famous person. And then it's just, like, the only thing this place is known for is just for having an odd name. And for that call. I mean, that guy was the most... I think that was the most entertaining of all the calls we got today.
So Kentucky is now known for horse racing, bourbon, and Climax.
There's a city in Idaho called Soda Springs.
Wow.
There's a Placentia, California.
Oh my God, that's a place I don't want to live.
There's a city in Virginia called Fries, like French fries.
Really?
There's a dinosaur.
Now that's got me written all over it.
There's a dinosaur, Colorado. That's got you written all over it as well. There's a Bangs, Texas.
Oh, wow. I don't want to go there.
This is fun. A little fun game that our caller helped us out with. I like
this. And it all started with Climax.
And I'm done.
That's a long ending, but I'm sure you'll edit it down.
It lasted longer than usual.